Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Rebel Room post-game edition. Ryan Green, Ray Brewer, and what do you know? We finally got a win to talk about for UNLV, 70-39 over Colorado State on Saturday afternoon at the Thomas and Mack Center. And Ray, to start it off, I want to talk about something unrelated to the action on the floor. You've lived here your whole life. You know the. I mean, you've seen this fan base. You've seen this program go up, go down, go back up. Kind of a weird response from the those fringe fans today. Not a lot of them decided to show up. But I heard one person say, "Oh, the 3 p.m. start time is a little." Oh, come on!
It wasn't the case when they played BYU 2 weeks ago, and it was a 1 o'clock tip. Mm,
yeah.
Las Vegas loves winning teams. UNLV is Las Vegas's pro franchise, but when the Rebels aren't winning, like those years with, you know, Spoonhauer and obviously Rolly Massimino.
You find other things to do because there's lots of other things to do.
Yeah, and the listed 13,626 in attendance, take away a good
2,000.
That was very generous, by the way. I was going to go a little higher. But, hey, UNLV hadn't won in 2 weeks. If you want people to come support you, you got to win games.
Now, for a 20-win team, are you okay with that kind of attendance given what they showed a couple weeks ago?
I mean, I think it's embarrassing. I think if UNLV is riding on, we'll go on this three-game run and win the Mountain West Tournament because our home faithful will be behind us, well, what's going to happen that first game on Thursday when they play, you know, like a Wyoming or a Colorado State, and they're going to say, well, it's just Wyoming or Colorado State, we won't show up, and UNLV maybe gets bit in the rear ski.
Okay, I just wanted your take on this because I was a little. I thought there should have been
too.
More there.
I thought maybe, you know, when I got to the arena, I had my clock set wrong. I didn't know what was going on because you had those great crowds against BYU and then against New Mexico, and everybody had Rebel fever, and I did that color story on the fans, and everybody was talking about how much they loved UNLV, and Lon Kruger's got all the pride back in the program, and cut me on my hand, I'm bleeding scarlet and gray.
And all it took to get them to go away.
It was a little bad performance against Utah and San Diego State.
Okay, not gonna harp on that too much because there was we're not gonna call it a great game because it was a one-sided game, but a great performance for UNLV again, 70-39 over Colorado State, just absolutely whipped them before you could even down that first hot dog or that first beer. They were up 18-2 with seven different guys scoring.
Kobayashi, yeah. By the way, would have downed at least 10 hot dogs.
Only 10.
Only 10.
Before that happens. 18-2 early. You know, from there it was just a blur for Colorado State. The end of the day, they were only 11 of 50 from the floor. The 22% is the worst for a UNLV opponent this year by a good 6.5%. No one scored in double figures for them. UNLV had four players in double figures for the first time since playing SMU in the Diamond Head Classic. And led by let's start talking about Anthony Marshall, 12-10, first double-double of his career high in rebounds, 26 minutes. He was great, 5 of 5 from the floor, and he did it in the way in which he kind of had a little bit of a Wink Adams in him.
Yeah,
he's becoming pretty good at using that athleticism to his ability and getting to the rack.
What I like about Marshall is obviously his shot's not where he wants it to be. But he's a scorer, and he found ways to score, and that was penetrating to the hole, using his athleticism, not backing down from anybody, and that spark. And you remember, he's a freshman, so now he's in the starting lineup. But that spark and that athleticism and that fearless play is what UNLV needs. Remember, there's times when, you know, midway through the year, beginning of the year, he'd get in for, you know, certain parts of the game. I think it was against New Mexico the first time he had a big block in at the pit.
Yeah,
they kind of
had
spurred
a dunk.
And this is a guy who comes in, he plays with that, I'm better than whoever I'm going to take off the dribble mentality, won't back down. And tonight he flourished, 12 points, 10 rebounds. And, you know, against Utah he had 9 rebounds. And what stands out there is a team like UNLV who – doesn't grab rebounds well at all. Here's a guard going in there, getting dirty, grabbing some boards. As for the win, I don't know if it was UNLV being great or CSU just being awful. But yeah, as I wrote my story, a win's a win. They could have been playing you, me, and the guy who's cleaning the bathroom right now and would have been happy with the victory. So they got that.
And, you know, going back to Marshall a little bit, you talk about a guard getting in there rebounding. It wasn't too long ago when we were saying that about Derek Jasper. And, you know, when Derek Jasper went down seven games ago, and UNLV needed someone to step up, Anthony Marshall wasn't given that first big opportunity. It kind of, the minutes went to Kendall Wallace at first. But the guy that everybody wanted to see step up and grab some of those minutes was Anthony Marshall. And these last three, four games, it's really starting to click for him. And this is a kid who a lot of people within the program very excited about. Remember, this was a top 60 recruit in the country last year from UNLV's backyard. A lot of people very excited, and they think that he's going to develop into something great, and I think you might be seeing him break out of that shell right now. All that needs to come around still is that jump shot, which is looking good in practice, just needs to translate it over to the game.
Yeah, when the bright lights are on, he just needs to find his comfort level. I covered him when he was at Mojave. The kid could definitely shoot, so it's just a matter of him doing it in a game, and I think all it'll take is one time, and then he'll take off. The thing that struck me from the game, Ryan, is that, boy, when I walked in the arena, you're watching them warm up, and they looked a little tense. They looked like, okay, hey, this is a game. You know, we haven't been playing well. We need to win. Who knows what's going to happen? After the game, everybody was loose. Everybody was happy. It was like their spirits are changed with just one game. The schedule favors UNLV down the stretch, TCU, Wyoming, Air Force, you know, three teams that aren't doing good right now in the league. And in terms of momentum, in terms of positive energy and karma, if you believe in that kind of stuff, I think UNLV got a little bit of its swagger back.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And, you know, that was the first time they were able to end the game looking relieved in a while. And, you know, a bunch of the players even said, you know, while we know there's business to be taken care of, the weight definitely felt like it was lifted at the end of that game. And I mean, a lot of guys busted out and got healthy on this one, which is funny to say, and we'll tell you why in a sec. But, you know, Chase Stanback hadn't scored in double figures in UNLV's last four games. He had 12 points. Kendall Wallace hadn't hit a three in his last two games. Hit three of them, had 11 points. So, you know, a lot of guys stepped up, and they're going to need more of that, starting with TCU on Wednesday night, because the rotation just keeps getting thinner and thinner. They're already without Jasper. They were without Shaw today. He might be out again on Wednesday. Belfield banged up, even though he looked pretty good today. The latest, Darius Santee pulled a muscle in his lower abdominal region. He got the start in place of Bryce Masamba and earned it with his showing at Utah. And now they don't know if he hardly played in the second half. He had to come out and didn't come back in. Now, Masamba was great in those 25 minutes with 7 points, five blocks, and three boards. But this rotation is thinning out. And, you know, it looks like it's going to be getting healthy right at the end of the regular season. But they just need to find enough sticks and glue to hold it together for another 3 weeks.
I think UNLV, with the weak schedule down the stretch, can piece it together without having much of an inside presence. But if you go into the league tournament with your only big man healthy being Masamba, then you're going to be in some trouble. Jasper is scheduled to come back right around when the tournament starts.
He'll probably play that last regular season game.
The verdict will still be out on how he responds. Is he going to be 100%? There's obviously going to be a mental side to it. Is he going to be playing with a little fear? Because he's had two major knee injuries. Now, you know, when is Shaw going to come back? Is he going to be effective? And UNLV still has a problem where, as we saw against New Mexico, as we saw against Utah, as we saw against San Diego State, they do not do well against teams that are big and long. And whenever they face those teams, if they're not hitting their shots, then they're just extremely small, extremely unaggressive, and it's a formula for disaster.
Now keep in mind, they're going to be healthy by the time that Mountain West tournament rolls around. Jasper will be back. I mean, Shaw just had it's a sprained ankle. He'll be back in, you know, a week or so. Can't imagine Santee's injury is anything that's going to drag on. So, you know, things are looking okay right now for UNLV. Wednesday night, do you think, let's close it out by just saying, do you think they carry it over in the same fashion? Now, this is a TCU team. Now, Colorado State has some fight in them of late. But TCU, UNLV beat them 79-70 in Fort Worth earlier this season. This is a team that almost looks like it's starting to throw in the towel a little bit. A frustrating year under Jim Christian. How do you see this game going?
after just watching, UNLV looked just so great tonight. And like I said earlier, I don't know if it was UNLV being great or Colorado State being a 15-11 team that's headed for a 15-20 finish, or however many games they have left. TCU has beaten UNLV. Last year they beat them in Fort Worth, and TCU does have players who can score, but do they have enough weapons to keep up with UNLV's great guards? Because TCU is another team that doesn't have size like UNLV. I think the Rebels continue the momentum, continue to roll. Everyone knew that the final five games were semi-easy, and here we go.
And you know what? Having a smaller rotation actually isn't a bad thing against TCU, because how they held up with UNLV the last time was with their guards hitting threes and scoring from the outside. So I'm gonna say the same. I think UNLV is probably about a 10-point winner on Wednesday night. Even if Santee doesn't play, I think I really do like their chances. And remember, Trevon Willis had 30 in that game, and they didn't need him to be great tonight. He had 11 and 3 points, three assists, and they won by 31.
Anytime UNLV Ryan shoots 8 of 16 of three pointers, they got a chance to win. This is a team live and dies by the three. Tonight, 8 of 16, they win. Go back and look how they shot.
Last two games, they hit six combined. Okay, so there that tells you what you need to know.
Answered my question.
Well, that's all we got tonight. We're going to be back with you Wednesday night after that TCU game. It'll be a late night, but we will be here at LasVegasSun.com/Rebels with full in-game, live, and post-game coverage. For Ray Brewer, I'm Ryan Green. We will talk to you on Wednesday night in the Rebel Room post-game edition.